replaced. The regime's troops also stormed a camp located in southern Al-Khalil, arresting more Palestinians during overnight incursions. Further raids were also reported in Jenin and Nablus. The Islamic Jihad resistance movement has condemned Israeli raids, calling them systematic aggression against Palestinians. The movement warned the attacks coincide with Knesset efforts to advance annexation laws, including measures allowing settlers to seize Palestinian lands. Our West Bank correspondent Nara Hamed was earlier with us to talk more about Israel's intensified raids across the occupied territories.
Since the hours of the morning, large numbers of military vehicles and soldiers have made their way, made an incursion today to Touba. From every entrance of that city, the Israeli aircraft, the Israeli military aircraft, also joined the ongoing or the military on the ground, the military vehicles on the ground, from the air, they were participating and still is participating in this military operation. According to local resources, according to Tamun municipality, the head of the municipality, Samir Bsharat, the air forces have fired ammunition and many rockets upon the Palestinians and the residential buildings. More than 10 residential buildings have been turned into military outposts. And until now, reports about two arrests from inside Touba. The ambulance is banned from entering the provenance, and as local resources have informed, that large numbers of vehicles and heavy machinery have been seen entering towards the city of Tul Kerem. Another attack in Al Arub refugee camp to the north of occupied Al Khalil is still going on.
Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has said that Israel is pursuing a clear policy to seize more Palestinian land in the West Bank through these systematic crimes. That's breaking news that you're getting on the bottom of your screen. And also, the Israeli regime continues to breach the Gaza ceasefire agreement with Hamas. Quadcopter drones have dropped grenades on eastern Gaza City while warplanes carried out airstrikes on Khan Yunis. For the latest developments, we're going to turn to our Gaza correspondent, Qada Ibrahim, who's joining us now from Deir al-Bala in central Gaza. Qada, what do you have to share with us as the breaching of this ceasefire by the Israeli regime continues as we speak?
Yes, exactly. The Israeli violations of the ceasefire agreement are continuous. At this moment, the Israeli attacks are escalated more on the eastern bars of Rafah City and the eastern bars of Khan Yunis as well. In Rafah, the Israeli occupation army announced that it is attacking some Palestinian resistance fighters in these areas that appear to be moving out from one of the remaining tunnels in this area of Rafah. However, until now, we don't have any coverage, as Rafah is completely under the Israeli control and no one is allowed to enter into these areas, and actually no medical services are allowed in these areas, in particular in the eastern parts of Rafah. The Israeli occupation army announced that it has already attacked and killed some resistance fighters in these areas. However, the Palestinian movement, Hamas, or the Palestinian factions have not announced anything regarding this issue. In the meantime, more attacks are also taking place on the eastern bars of Rafah, on the eastern bars of Khan Yunis, as well the outskirts of Al-Qarara, Bani Sahla, and Abasan areas that are completely damaging the areas and damaging the remaining houses and neighborhoods in the eastern bars of these areas. This morning, one Palestinian martyr was announced from Nasser Hospital. Yesterday, another man was killed as a result of an Israeli fire on the same area of Bani Sahla. So we are talking about more Israeli attacks, more Palestinians falling victim to these attacks, and more violations taking place on the eastern parts of Deir al-Balah, as well as Israeli artillery shelling is continuous behind the so-called yellow line in areas that are supposed to be residential, and people are supposed to go and to return to since the beginning of the ceasefire agreement. However, until now, more people are not allowed to go and to go back to these areas in the eastern parts of Deir al-Balah and the eastern parts of Gaza City, like At-Tufah and Al-Shija'iyah neighborhoods. These areas are subjected to very heavy artillery artillery shelling around. There were very, very heavy shooting from the Israeli snipers and gunfire, and the Israeli tanks, as well as in these areas in particular, the Israeli occupation army has already widened and expanded the yellow zone areas behind the yellow line zones behind the so-called yellow line. So more attacks are taking place also on the northern parts of Gaza City and the northern parts of the Strip, Beit Lahia and Jabalia refugee camp. But according to the witnesses and according to the locals in these areas, the Israeli occupation army is leveling to the ground what is remaining in these areas and the remaining buildings or infrastructure like hospitals and schools in these areas. So more attacks are taking place and more people are still deprived from returning to their areas behind the so-called yellow line. These attacks are not limited to the eastern parts of the Strip. However, also in the west, we have also more attacks from the Israeli warships that continue to fire directly towards the fishermen and towards the people across or along the Gaza beach who are actually setting their tents and having their tents encampments in the western parts of the Gaza Strip. These areas are completely lacking all the basics of survival and also subjected to artillery subjected to gunfire from the Israeli warships the Israeli Navy. In the meantime, a short while ago, 15 corpses were handed over from the Israeli side to the Palestinian, or to the, via the IRC, to the Palestinian side at Nasser Hospital, following the recent handover of an Israeli captive by the Palestinian factions. This Israeli captive was confirmed this morning that it belongs to one of the Israeli soldiers. Its family has confirmed receiving the corpse, and following to that ceasefire agreement, 15 more Palestinian corpses were handed over via RC to the via the Red Cross to the Palestinian side at Nasser Hospital. And as the ones before, all the corpses are actually showing the signs of torture and execution, and also the signs of the unimaginable torture they were subjected to in the Israeli prisons. And according to the medical sources here in the Gaza Strip, around 400 Palestinian corpses were handed over since the beginning of the ceasefire. However, around 100 of them were recognizable or have been identified by the Palestinian sources and by their families. However, around 300 of them are not recognized because of the mutilation and the extreme torture they were subjected to, and because they were held in captivity for more than 2 years now in the Israeli prisons.
Thanks a lot, Bader Ibrahim, joining us from Deir al-Balah in central Gaza. Now, sir, the Palestinian NGO network has sounded a serious alarm over the catastrophic humanitarian situation in Gaza as winter approaches. The network called on the international community to declare the territory a, quote, humanitarian disaster area. The warning came as the Palestinians in Gaza complain about their desperate situation due to Israeli blockade of aid supplies despite the ceasefire.
All night we couldn't sleep or do anything. We were just holding mops and worn-out tents with water coming in from every direction. Children are drowning, drenched in water, and we're practically swimming. This suffering, this rain, and the weather depressions haven't even started yet. It's only the beginning of winter, and we're already flooded. We haven't received tents or tarps. The tarp and the tent are 2 years old. They're completely worn out, and we're drowning.
The network also called for urgent global measures to ensure the protection of civilians in Gaza and lift the territory's blockade. It stressed that rescue efforts are necessary for thousands of displaced people whose tents and shelters have been swept away by torrential rains and floods. The network also called for urgent delivery of tents and supplies needed to rehabilitate shelters, along with the immediate provision of relief and food aid. It noted that Gaza's civil defense teams and the health sector must be activated, and Israeli restrictions on the entry of essential goods must end. The network added that according to the latest international reports, more than 90% of Gaza's population suffers from malnutrition due to severe food shortages and scarcity of potable water amid ongoing Israeli bombardments and daily military strikes. Political analyst Sarah Flounders believes that Trump's peace plan for Gaza is a complete fraud, and Washington is actually a guarantor of the ongoing genocide in the war-torn territory.
In my opinion, what this means is that the U.S., as the guarantor of this grand peace plan, this peace plan rammed through even the U.N. Security Council, they are the guarantors of a humanitarian disaster, of a continuing genocide. It's a complete fraud, and yet they signed on and said they would guarantee that these supplies would be released, that there would be food, that there would be shelter, the most basic shelter. We're talking about tarps and tents in wintertime. We're talking about basic nutritious food, and yet none of that is being provided. It's being provided in levels so scarce, so tiny, that 90% of the population is still suffering serious malnutrition. Now, this is a real disaster. And we got to say that for the countries that guaranteed this agreement, that they are also responsible, along with the Zionists, along with this Israeli blockade.
Well, a new poll indicates that over 80% of Germans oppose their government's military support for Israel. The survey also found that nearly three-quarters of respondents want Berlin to apply stronger diplomatic pressure on Israel. The survey shows a major shift in public opinion, with 60% rejecting the traditional stance that Germany has special responsibility towards Israel. The poll also reflects a widening gap between government policy and public sentiment. Berlin supplied Israel with arms worth more than 490 million euros from October 7th, 2023 to June 5th, 2025. Amid rising public pressure, Germany in August imposed restrictions on weapons sales to the Tel Aviv regime as the ammunition could be used in the genocidal war on Gaza. However, Berlin lifted the restrictions this week. The United Nations says despite the conclusion of the ceasefire agreement between Israel and Lebanon, the regime has intensified its attacks on the Arab country, killing scores of civilians. According to the UN Human Rights Office, at least 127 civilians have been killed in Lebanon since the ceasefire deal entered into force about a year ago. In one of the deadliest attacks last week, over a dozen civilians, mostly children, were killed in the Ain al-Helwa camp for Palestinian refugees in southern Lebanon. The office added that there are serious concerns that Israel's attack on the Ain al-Helwa camp may have violated international humanitarian law. It called for a prompt and impartial investigation into the regime's strike. The UN Humanitarian Office added that Israel's attacks on Lebanon have also destroyed civilian infrastructure and hampered reconstruction efforts and attempts by internally displaced people to go back home. It said over 64,000 people, mostly residents of southern Lebanon, remain displaced in other parts of the country. Iran's foreign minister Abbas Araghchi is set to arrive in Paris later on Wednesday. The trip is at the invitation of his French counterpart, Jean-Noël Barrot. According to the Iranian foreign ministry, bilateral issues as well as regional and international issues are on the agenda of the talks. The ministry says the Islamic Republic uses any opportunity to declare the country's positions regarding different issues, including its peaceful nuclear program. The top Iranian diplomat is also expected to talk about the case of an Iranian citizen, Mahdi Esfandiari, who was arrested earlier this year over anti-Israel social media posts. Araghchi's trip to Paris comes after he concluded a trip to The Hague, where he attended the 30th session of the conference of the state parties to the Chemical Weapons Convention. Also, Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi has condemned the U.S.'s bullying toward Venezuela and other independent countries in the Western Hemisphere. Araghchi issued the condemnation in a phone call with his Venezuelan counterpart, Ivan Gil Pinto. The top Iranian diplomat said threatening to use force against Venezuela amounts to gross violations of the UN Charter and international law. Araghchi also called on the international community to take action in the face of hostile unilateralism by the U.S. The Venezuelan foreign minister, for his part, reaffirmed Caracas's determination to resist U.S. pressure and illegal interference in the country's affairs. Meanwhile, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has vowed to defend his country against any imperialist threat urging unity among civilians, politicians, and armed forces.
I tell our people, if Bolivar could build 7 Army Corps to liberate all of South America and secure the independence of Central America and beyond, we must be able to defend every inch of this blessed land from any imperialist threat or aggression, wherever and whenever it comes. Stay alert, stay alert.
Maduro made the remarks during a civic military march in Caracas. The rally was held as tensions have been on the rise between Caracas and Washington since the U.S. military began strikes on alleged drug trafficking boats in the Caribbean. The U.S. State Department has designated the Cartel de los Sols a foreign terrorist organization. That's a group allegedly headed by Maduro. The Venezuelan Foreign Ministry described the designation as a ridiculous fabrication. Meanwhile, Caracas has warned international airlines to resume flights to the Latin American country within 48 hours or risk being stripped of their clearance to fly there altogether. It came after several airlines suspended their flights to Venezuela following a Friday warning by the U.S. aviation regulator about heightened military activity in the area. Brazil's Supreme Court has ordered former President Jair Bolsonaro to begin serving his 27-year prison sentence as his conviction for plotting a coup. The far-right politician was convicted in September after the Supreme Court ruled he orchestrated a criminal conspiracy to block his left-wing rival Lula da Silva from taking office. Investigators say the plot included plans to assassinate Lula and his running mate. The conspiracy, however, failed to get the backing of the Army and Air Force commanders. Bolsonaro and his 6 allies were later found guilty of attempting to, quote, annihilate Brazilian democracy and restore dictatorship. He has been under house arrest since August. That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brother and sister, Salaamu Alaikum and welcome to a new episode of Today's Special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you for choosing this program to listen to. And inshallah, this program would be beneficial for you. Today, we're going to speak about modern idolatry.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Today is Wednesday, 5th of Jamadil Thani, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Azar, 1404 of the Islamic Solar History Calendar, and the 27th of November, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. And now let's listen to one verse from the Holy Quran and learn more about it. We bless this moment by listening to chapter Al-Imran, verse 160.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. In yansurkumullahu fala ghaliba lakum. وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ.
If Allah should aid you, no one can overcome you. But if He should forsake you, who is there that can aid you after Him? And upon Allah, let the believers rely.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the previous verse, trust and reliance in Allah was recommended. In this verse, the reason of that reliance is expressed, saying that both honor and abasement are with Allah. It is narrated that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, asked Gabriel, "What is trust in Allah?" The angel answered, "It is so that you know people do not give you profit nor loss, neither they grant nor restrain, and that you be despair of all humankind. Then when a servant becomes like this, he will not act for anyone except Allah. He will not be hopeful of or afraid of anyone but Allah. He will not become desirous in anyone save Allah." And this is the reality of trust.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you to doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light who guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong and right. A world that often lies, cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
The topic we want to speak about is modern idolatry. Have you ever met someone who says Bismillah every morning? But when they see a talisman, lucky number, or good selling item, their eyes light up. We sometimes smile faintly, but in our heart we might ask, "Are you serious? Your sustenance comes from Allah, but your heart is pining for inanimate objects." This is the face of modern shirk, not in dark caves, not in an accident ritual far removed from everyday life, but in the brightly lit shops, in bustling the storefronts, in the supposedly practical and modern digital world. People say they believe in Allah, but in practice they rely on mantras, amulets, or other items to boost their sales. Their tongues speak of Tawheed, but their hearts still doubt Allah Himself.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Ali Hawes. Today we are going to talk about modern idolatry in 2025. Feng Shui shops also feature items such as Chinese coins, foo dogs, wind chimes, dragon turtles, qilin, dragon horse, towers of knowledge, wishing oxen, magic mirrors, gourds, mystic knots, laughing Buddhas, elephants, Arona fish, merchant ship, and wealth vases. Feng Shui lacks scientific basis, dear brothers and sisters. Do these statues truly achieve what is claimed. According to Islamic scholars, feng shui is not a science, but feng shui is not a science, but an interpretive system describing cosmic phenomena and relationships. It offers a worldview concerning material life and humanity's role in it. It is an ancient Chinese belief system, not a religion. If its practical recommendations are to be validated, they must first prove effective through scientific and empirical tests. Yet feng shui has never been scientifically verified. If authentic Islamic teachings are not properly introduced, false ideas will take their place.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Believing in superstitions is one of the hidden ways of committing shirk or hypocrisy or disbelief. Superstitions are false beliefs that certain things bring good or bad luck. Some common examples include a black cat crossing the road means bad luck, or breaking a mirror causes 7 years of bad luck, or Friday the 13th is an unlucky day, or hanging a horseshoe brings good luck. These beliefs have no basis in Islam. The Prophet said there is no bad omen in Islam. Only Allah controls what happens to us, not objects, numbers, or superstitions. Instead of fearing the bad luck, we should trust in Allah and seek His protection through du'as and reliance. Now, how to protect ourselves from shirk or disbelief. Avoid words and expressions that lead to shirk. Sometimes shirk begins in language. Be careful with common phrases like, if it weren't for you, this wouldn't have happened. By your life, this object protects me, this is for good luck. Or replace them with correct phrases such as, if it weren't for Allah, then you. By Allah, Allah protected me through this. Changing the way we speak helps purify our beliefs and keeps our hearts aware that everything happens by Allah's will.
So the whole point of sujood is to make us humble, the Imam says. And the whole point of salah is to make us humble. There's a hadith that's narrated both from Imam Ali and from Fatima alayhi salam. When they speak about the benefits of salah, they say, وَالصَّلَاةَ تَنْزِيهًا لَكُمْ عَنِ الْكِبْرِ. One of the benefits of salah is that it makes us humble. And it makes us humble through sujood. But the question is how? How does sujood make me humble? Two ways. Number one, the first way that sujood makes me humble is if I ask you, what's the most honorable part of your body? For most, it may differ from culture to culture, but for most cultures, and especially for most of the Middle Eastern cultures, the most honorable part of the body is the forehead. correct? That's why when you love someone like your parents, you go and kiss them on their forehead. You want to respect someone, you kiss them on the forehead. Because this is the most honorable part of the body. And what's the most worthless thing in the world? Dust, dirt. It's all over the place, correct? Allah Azza wa Jal is asking us every day, five times we pray. Each rak'ah has two sujoods, correct? So there's 17 rak'ahs, times that by two. 34 times a day, Allah is asking me to place my most honorable part of body on the dust, which is the most worthless thing in the world. Do you think that's easy for an arrogant person? An arrogant person who his forehead has to be way up high. Now we're telling him, take this forehead, not only put it on the ground, but rub it on the dust, so that when you remove your head, it becomes dusty. This is not easy for an arrogant person. So when we do this every day, this will gradually make us humble human beings. That we learn to put our heads down on the earth, on the dust, not just on the earth.
Dear brother and sister, we open a new chapter here, and that was about modern idolatry, one of the great and important phenomena in modern life. I think it's better to continue this interesting topic on the next episodes of today's special from IRIB English Radio. So be with us, and till then, we leave you in Allah's mercy. Fi amanillah.
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
That was the week that was. Beyond the headlines, we dissect the stories that shaped the past 7 days from the heart of region to the global stage. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to our political chat show, That Was the Week That Was. We look at global politics and issues of the day, and I'm your host, Leila Garcia. With me here in the studio is veteran journalist and political commentator, Miranda Akhshand. Please stay tuned. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks very much indeed.
Today's discussion is about Donald Trump's suggestion that talks with the Venezuelan counterpart Nicolas Maduro could be on the table as the U.S. Navy's most advanced aircraft carrier arrives in the Caribbean Sea. The U.S. president spoke after Washington further upped the ante by announcing plans to designate as a terrorist group a cartel that it claims Nicolas Maduro runs. We may be having some discussions with Maduro, and we'll see how that turns out, Trump told reporters in Florida, adding they would like to talk. Pressed for more details, he replied, Venezuela would like to talk. What does it mean? You tell me. I don't know. I'll talk to anybody. Earlier Sunday, the U.S. State Department said it would classify Cartel de los Soles, which it claims is headed by Maduro, as a foreign terrorist organization, FTO. Cartel de los Soles, with other designated FDOs, including Tren de Aragua and the Sinaloa Cartel, are responsible for terrorist violence throughout our hemisphere, as well as for trafficking drugs into the United States and Europe, Secretary of State Marco Rubio said in a statement. The designation, effective from November 24, follows a huge U.S. military mobilization in the Caribbean, which Washington states necessary to prevent drug smuggling into the United States. But Caracas claims it is really a ploy to overthrow its leftist president Maduro, who the United States considers an illegitimate leader and a drug lord, a charge that Maduro denies. Okay, let's bring in veteran journalist and political commentator Miranda Akhshand.
Thanks for inviting me.
My first question is, the United States has issued a new air travel warning for Venezuela. Tell us more about that.
Yes, that's right. The U.S. has issued a new air travel warning. Yeah. The Federal Aviation Authority, the FAA, sent out a notice to air missions, or NOTAM, alerting pilots, airlines, and air traffic controllers of a potentially hazardous situation in and around Venezuela. The alert speaks of a worsening security situation and heightened military activity in and around Venezuela. According to the Federal Aviation Authority, notice said that threats could pose a potential risk to aircraft at all altitudes, including during overflight, the arrival and departure phases of flight, and or airports and aircraft underground.
Right.
The warning is for the Maiquetia Flight Information Region, which includes Venezuelan airspace, as well as parts of southern Caribbean, such as Colombia, Guyana, Brazil, and Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm. Will talks between Trump and Maduro diffuse the increasingly tense situation in the region?
Well, that's a good question. Donald Trump has hinted he might be prepared to negotiate with Nicolas Maduro and his representatives. He said, we may be having some conversations with Maduro and we'll see how that turns out. Mm-hmm. They would like to talk, he said. Asked if he would rule out U.S. troops on the ground in Venezuela, Trump said, no, I don't rule that out. And Trump stepped up his rhetoric towards Mexico as well, which he accused of failing to tackle drug trafficking problem and drug trafficking groups. When asked whether he would sanction U.S. counter-drug operation in Mexico, Donald Trump said, would I launch strikes in Mexico to stop drugs? It's okay with me, whatever we have to do to stop drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that he is prepared to launch such operations in Mexico. Talks between Donald Trump and Nicolas Maduro will certainly diffuse tensions in the region if they happen. But Trump has been sending mixed signals with regards to Venezuela all along. A top U.S. aircraft carrier, USS Gerald Ford, has arrived in the Caribbean Sea, bringing the total number of U.S. service members on the ground in the region to about 15,000. So with a huge aircraft carrier like that, with those numbers of potential troops on the ground, 15,000 troops in the region, you have to wonder whether Trump is thinking about war, or he claims he likes to talk to Maduro as well. You have to wonder about that. He's been sending mixed signals.
The United States conducted another attack on an alleged drug trafficking boat in the Eastern Pacific on Saturday. How many attacks on alleged drug boats have been conducted by U.S. military since early September? And how many people have died in these attacks?
Well, these numbers keep rising, of course, but U.S. has declared that its military has killed at least 82 people in 21 attacks since September on vessels it accuses of being engaged in narco trafficking. These figures are accurate as of Monday, 17th of November. So 82 people killed, 21 attacks on boats and various vessels in both the Caribbean Sea and Eastern Pacific. So as of Monday, 17th of November, we have 82 people killed and 21 attacks on boats in both the Caribbean Sea and the Eastern Pacific.
I see,
Donald Trump has designated drug cartels as terrorists, and his administration has said it is engaged in a non-international armed conflict with drug traffickers. However, many experts question whether the campaign is legal, because drug traffickers are not attacking the U.S. military or threatening the United States with imminent attack. Evidence to tie these bombed vessels and boats to the drug trade has been very limited, and militaries are supposed to distinguish between civilian and military targets.
How do you see the role of U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio in all of this?
Well, the U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is the real hardliner within the administration when it comes to Venezuela. He's the real hardliner. In fact, Marco Rubio is a longtime critic of Nicolas Maduro's socialist government. And he's managed to win the support of Stephen Miller, the powerful White House Deputy Chief of Staff. And he's also won the support of Susie Wiles, the chief of staff in the White House. And Marco Rubio did this partly by seizing on the administration's designation of Tren de Aragua, a transnational gang of Venezuelan origin, as a foreign terrorist organization that has infiltrated the United States and allegedly fueled the influx of undocumented migrants fleeing Venezuela. And underlying Marco Rubio's drive may be a mixture of both ideology and political ambition. Experts say that Rubio's hard line with regards to Venezuela is both a mixture of ideology and political ambition. Marco Rubio is a son of Cuban immigrants. He has long denounced Nicolas Maduro and his predecessor Hugo Chavez for the financial and oil support that they provided to Cuba's government. And observers say Marco Rubio is eyeing the Republican presidential nomination in 2028, when Donald Trump is constitutionally barred from seeking a third term in office, and Rubio is adopting a hard line on Venezuela. This could help secure the Cuban ethnic vote, which is very crucial in Florida and in other U.S. states as well, but particularly in Florida.
Britain has quietly suspended intelligence cooperation with the U.S. and the Caribbean Sea because London does not consider the deadly U.S. military campaign against ships accused of drug trafficking to be in the line with international law. Tell us more about that.
Yes, Britain has suspended the sharing of intelligence with the United States on suspected drug trafficking vessels in the Caribbean Sea. But British officials have been at pains to point out that Britain does not comment on intelligence matters, so they're not officially confirming this. But both The Guardian in Britain and CNN in the United States, both of them reported that Britain has suspended the sharing of intelligence with the United States on these alleged drug trafficking vessels in the Caribbean Sea because of concerns in Britain that these are extrajudicial killings. These attacks on boats, on alleged drug trafficking boats, resulting in casualties and resulting in dead bodies. Britain is concerned that these are extrajudicial killings by the US right. Army. And this decision by Britain is a rare rupture between London and Washington. It indicates that Britain does not believe the Trump administration's practice of sinking boats allegedly used for drug trafficking is legal. The yeah. United Kingdom, which retains oversight on several island territories in the Caribbean Sea, has long shared intelligence with the United States mm-hmm. about movement of suspect vessels traveling from Latin America. And a British government spokesperson said, it is our long-standing policy to not comment on intelligence matters. Yeah. However, as I mentioned, both The Guardian newspaper in Britain and CNN in the United States have reported that Britain has stopped sharing intelligence with the United States on suspected drug trafficking vessels in the Caribbean Sea.
Yeah. You are listening to the Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran, English Radio. This program entitled, That Was the Week That Was. CBS News on Wednesday reported that senior military officials had presented Trump with updated options for potential operations in Venezuela, including strikes on land. Venezuela announced Tuesday what it called a major nationwide military deployment to counter the growing U.S. naval presence off its coast. How likely is a war between the U.S. and Venezuela?
Well, as you mentioned, CBS News has confirmed that senior military officials have presented Donald Trump with options for potential operations on the ground in Venezuela. President Trump was presented with updated options for potential operations in Venezuela, and this was confirmed by CBS News. Various senior officials were involved in this briefing of President Trump, including the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, Air Force General Dan Kane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and various other senior officials were present in this news briefing.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently no final decision was reached,
right.
according to CBS News. The Trump administration has been sending mixed signals on Venezuela, but a war between U.S. and Venezuela actually looks highly likely because
right.
of the
That's
huge
true.
And unprecedented buildup of U.S. military forces mm-hmm. in the Caribbean Sea, in and around Venezuela. A top U.S. aircraft carrier, USS Gerald Ford, has arrived in the Caribbean Sea, bringing the total number of U.S. servicemen in the region to about 15,000. This
wow.
is totally That's unprecedented, weird. a huge show of force by the U.S. military. You have to wonder, but what are all these service members doing in the region? If it's
right.
not going to
yeah.
be an attack on Venezuela, mm-hmm. what are they there for? And so it actually looks quite likely that there might be some sort of an operation on land in mm-hmm. Venezuela, and we can say that Donald Trump has been sending mixed signals with regards to his intentions on Venezuela. He's blowing hot and cold on Venezuela, but it does look
yeah.
very likely that we might see some sort of military action in and around Venezuela.
Mm-hmm. To sum up very briefly then, talks between Donald Trump and Nicolas Maduro might lead to diffusion of tensions in the region if these talks actually take place. But given the huge U.S. military buildup in the Caribbean Sea, war between U.S. and Venezuela is also highly likely. Thank you, Mr. Rakshan, for your insightful analysis.
Thank you very much.
For more on these and other critical issues, be sure to visit our website at parstoday.ir/yen. And that brings us to the end of today's program. Join us again next time for another edition of That Was the Week That Was. Take care and goodbye.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Good evening to all our listeners. You are tuned in to Iran Radio broadcast from Tehran. Nice to have you with us. We'll start off this hour's program with Hadith of the Day. The program presents a Hadith from the Holy Prophet and members of his household, Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, along with a brief explanation about the Hadith. Next up will be our varied radio productions feature, and we'll finish off this hour's programs with Muslim Lady, the quintessential radio program for Muslim women. The program is hosted by Muslim women and deals with a variety of subjects all related to women.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the Day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, salam, and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. The Prophet, peace be upon him and his holy progeny, is quoted to have said, "Detachment from worldly desires brings comfort to the heart and to the body." So, do you like comfort of the heart and of the body? Listen to this Hadith. Detach yourself from the worldly desires. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have anything or you shouldn't have desires. No, you shouldn't be detached. You shouldn't be attached to them, obsessed with them. You shouldn't kick yourself every day for things that you lose or you don't gain. At first glance, it might seem that this means giving up everything. But the wisdom is deeper. True peace comes from moderation, prioritization, and focusing on what truly matters. For example, a lot of us, we risk and in risk or puts our health in danger because we want to gain something to, for example, feed ourselves to remain healthy. That's like paradoxical and ironic. When we are overly attached to wealth, status, or possessions, the heart becomes restless. And do you have restless hearts now? Constant desire creates anxiety, envy, and dissatisfaction. Look at the Instagram and other social media. The main thing you may get out of them is dissatisfaction with you, what you have, what you are. Detachment or zuhd does not mean abandoning life. It means valuing what matters most and letting go of excessive attachment. The stress that everyone is suffering from is like the disease of this century. Disease that spreads all around the world. In every person, every individual you find, they are suffering from stress. Why so much stress? Of course, a little bit of it is necessary even, maybe. but too much of it is very lethal, I guess. You know, look at our your parents, for example. If you have parents, look at their hair. They become gray or white because of that. A big part of it is because of the stress they had suffered. And the Quran reminds us, beautified for people, or decorated actually, is the love of what they desire. Children, wealth, land, and so on. But the hereafter is better for those who fear Allah. Dear listeners, by reducing obsession with worldly things, the heart becomes calm and focused. And you're going to have physical and mental well-being, inshallah. So don't get too much or too attached to this world and the desires and the gains and properties and so on in it. Have them, but do not be attached. Do not be obsessed. And have calm and peace. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
You may cut off my breath, but never my faith, no, never. My faith, it's my voice. You may chain both my hands, but never my soul, no, never. My soul, it's my voice. You may cut off my breath, but never my faith, no, never. My faith, it's my voice. My hands,
but never.